the ecosystem and the wider environment has really changed here in Wales. So businesses are quite focused on generating revenue early on rather than relying on government funding. So we're not just saying we're good at cyber, we're good at semiconductors. We can actually say we've got some unique sector leading work happening here in Wales, which is about taking what we're already really good at and bringing tech to the table. And I would really like to see a new government or the next government thinking about how we trust our regions and nations to understand what their ecosystems need.
From the first time founders to the funds that back them, innovation needs different. Our episode partner, HSBC Innovation Banking, is proud to accelerate growth for tech and life science businesses, creating meaningful connections and opening up a world of opportunity for entrepreneurs and investors alike. Discover more at www.hsbcinnovationbanking.com/en-gb. Hello and welcome to the UKTN podcast, a weekly chat with the movers and shakers of the UK tech industry and the destination for all things UK tech related. I'm your host, Jane Wakefield, and this week I'm joined by Louise Harris from Tramshed Tech. Welcome, Louise.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Tramshed describes itself as the home of startups in Wales, a community of tech workers which offers flexible workspaces as well as support programs and business skills training. So that sounds like you've got quite a lot going on where you are. Talk me through what you're hoping to achieve.
It's certainly been a busy few months here in Tramshed. What we're hoping to achieve here in Wales is to build a vibrant and thriving tech ecosystem. That's something that we've been working at for quite a while now. And as you say, we do that through certain channels, if you like, within the ecosystem. So we support businesses with creating a fantastic community for the work that they want to achieve. And then we also support that with a wider series of programs to help an entrepreneur or a business on their journey through the trials and tribulations, shall we say, of running a tech enterprise.
It is a journey, isn't it? And it is interesting that entrepreneurs are kind of expected not just to have a good idea for a business, but also to know exactly how to start it up and what to do when they want to scale up. But they need people around them to do that, don't they? And I guess that's why Silicon Valley was so successful back in the day, because it just had lots of people that could do that. So do you think that what you're building there is already making a difference in terms of the tech startups we're seeing come through? Are people more confident? Have they got more knowledge? What are the sort of key takeaways so far?
Well, we definitely know that being part of the tech ecosystem here in Wales is helping businesses to make the decisions that they need to do early on in their journey. So one of the things that we do through our Startup Academy here at Tramshed is we help businesses to work out whether they have a product that has a market. And through our portal that runs alongside the program, they can track their progress. And one of the things that we do very early on is we encourage businesses to go out and speak to potential customers. And I think that bit is missing sometimes in other programs that you can join around being a startup. It's great to learn all of the kind of wider things around the outside, but the most important thing is, can you get customers? Is someone going to buy your product? So I think one of the things that we have learned early on is that those support programs are helping entrepreneurs to make the decisions and the right decisions at the right time for their business.
I can't help noticing that you seem to be in what looks a bit like a recording studio. So is that something that you provide? I mean, I'm very jealous. It puts my communal garden living room to shame.
Oh, not at all. I'm absolutely quite jealous myself of the lovely fruit bowl in the back there, Jane. But no, this is one of our podcast studios. So we have 6 sites around Wales where businesses can come to collaborate, to work with like-minded entrepreneurs, to innovate, but also to hopefully communicate about the work they're doing. So via our podcast studios, members can book at any time using the Tramshed app, and then they're able to come into the recording studio and speak to the rest of the world.
Excellent. What a great idea. It's interesting, though, isn't it, how workplace culture has changed so dramatically in the last couple of years. Obviously, started really by COVID and everybody being forced to work from home. Have you noticed changes in the way people want to work? And how does that impact what you're trying to build there?
Yeah, it's a really good observation, I think, that things most definitely have changed. One thing I would say from our experience is that things have changed, but not in a predictable way. So things continue to change. I still don't think we've seen a leveling out of the way that people work in terms of, you know, we used to know that which days would be super busy. We used to know which days were best to hold events. You know, all of those things were quite predictable. But now people tend to have more of a flexibility in their day-to-day working. We have definitely become a 24-hour operation, 365 of the year, and we are having to respond to that and be much more flexible in terms of the support that we give to businesses as well. So an example of that is a program that we're running currently. It's a program of digital upskilling for individuals and entrepreneurs. We run that program throughout the year, but in lots of different formats. So one of the formats is run during the day. One of the formats is run on weekends. One of the formats is running evenings. What we understand is that businesses require that ultimate flexibility in order to create a vibrant workplace.
It's definitely the case, isn't it, that people are changing when they work and when they're in the office. Are there days particularly where, you know, there's nobody there? Because there's this sort of theory that people come in now Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays and the bookends of the week are very much spent at home. Is that the case for you guys?
That's not what we're seeing in terms of that predictability. In some ways, it would be much easier if it was. Yeah. I definitely think we are seeing, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday as the favourite days in the week to get together. If you're a co-worker and you don't want to be lone working at home and you want to go and work alongside other co-workers, you're going to try and make sure you do that on a day that they're there. So Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays are very busy. But what I would say is that people are flexing around that. So we can't predict. We could have a really super busy Monday, but then quite a quiet Tuesday. So one thing we're quite lucky about is that we never empty. We've always got something, an activity, an event, but also very busy co-working space, which means that any day of the week that you drop into Tramshed, you're likely to have a great conversation or speak to someone really interesting.
And if you don't, you can always go in your lovely podcast studio, which I'm still very jealous of. look, let's talk a little bit about politics. Obviously, there's been things happening both in Westminster and in Wales. In Wales, you've now got a new First Minister. So what does that mean for tech businesses based in Wales? Is it business as usual? And more generally, what does devolution mean to the sector?
I think that change is always really challenging, especially if you're a startup or a scaling business. So, you know, the idea of a change within local government, our Welsh government or central government is always a little daunting for businesses. And of course, the media quite likes to pick up on how things might change quite dramatically. But also what businesses see in that change and that evolution is opportunity. And one thing that we have the opportunity to do here in Wales is to really push forward in terms of enterprise, our investment zones, our free ports. And I think having a new First Minister in Vaughan Gethin, who has been economy minister, who understands business, has worked alongside the tech sector for a number of years now, is a real opportunity for Wales. And the level of ambition that's already being discussed just in the last couple of days, I think is hugely exciting for us as a nation. What does that mean for wider devolution? I'm not one to predict what will happen in the general election, but of course, if we were to speculate for the first time, we could end up with a match in government in both central government and in Welsh government. And that could bring some interesting opportunities, I think, for tech and digital businesses, not just here in Wales, but across the UK.
And what would those interesting opportunities look like if we pretend that scenario is a definite thing that's happening? Is it money or what's the opportunity that you see?
Money's a is never the starting point, I don't think, for businesses who are looking to government for support. In the past, I think Wales has slightly had a skewed ecosystem because we did benefit a lot from European funding. But with that not being an option now, the ecosystem and the wider environment has really changed here in Wales. So businesses are quite focused on generating revenue early on rather than relying on government funding. I think the point for businesses is not so much, can we get money from government? I think it's about creating the right environment for businesses to be able to talk to government. And in a narrative and a language that both sides understand. One thing I'd really like to see, if we were to have a joined up government, is that government really trusting that business knows what it needs and bringing business to the table and then not being afraid to ask the difficult questions, because businesses are up for that. You know, whether you're a startup or you're a scale up, you're leading a company or part of a team, you know what's right for your business, what's right for your customers, and you can articulate that. So I'd really like to see government trusting in business. The other opportunity that I see, which sadly is not really been taken up by the current central government, is this idea of trusting regional knowledge. And I think UK Tech News has done a fantastic job of highlighting brilliant sector leading practice across the whole of the UK. But sadly, we still see London as, you know, the hub of where innovation happens. And I would really like to see a new government or the next government thinking about how we trust our regions and nations to understand what their ecosystems need. So a bit of a better joined up approach to UK-wide tech initiatives, I think could be a huge opportunity for not just for Wales, but for the whole of the UK.
It sounds to me like you're thinking that that's something Labour would focus on in ways that perhaps the Conservative government hasn't. Although I have to say that we had Michelle Donnellan on the podcast and she said some of the things that you're saying there about the need to listen to the tech community. And of course, we've got a new Department for Science and Technology and Innovation. So those are all steps in the right direction. But do you think that Labour, and has Labour talked specifically about things that it will do that you think will really move the dial forward?
I don't necessarily think it's a party political thing in terms of, you know, Conservatives haven't managed to do it, but Labour will. I just think for Wales, one of the opportunities would be to have Labour in central government and Labour here in Wales as well, which of course may potentially lead to, you know, clearer lines of communication and getting things done a bit more rapidly. I think one of the things that I would really like to see is the building of the work that the Conservative government have started with the tech cluster group. And I think this is something that, you know, does bring the regions of the UK together and has done for a number of years now. But also the work that Barclays are now doing through the Digital Growth Grant. You know, there are pockets of really sector leading practice, and whether that's Conservatives trying to lead that forward or a Labour government, I think enabling businesses to make those decisions for themselves is what I would like to see going forward.
HSBC Innovation Banking, our partner for this episode, provides commercial banking services, expertise, and insights to the technology, life science and healthcare, private equity, and venture capital industries. To find out why innovation needs different, go to www.hsbcinnovationbanking.com/en-gb. Now, when I was researching this interview, I was reading the story about the Newport Fab. And for me, that story really encapsulates both the strengths and the challenges faced, not just by Wales, but by the whole sort of tech sector. You know, here we have the UK's biggest microchip factory, which is great and something we absolutely need going forwards. But then on the other side, it's been caught up in geopolitics. The government ordering its Chinese owners to sell the firm, bought by a US company, but now still in limbo as the government dithers, or at least that's my reading. You probably know this story far better than me. Well, but what, I'd just like to get your take, really, on what seems like a bit of a sorry saga.
I think when you're talking about, you know, huge, as you say, geopolitical issues, the wheels don't turn very quickly on these kinds of things. The opportunity for Wales, of course, with the investment zones, the semiconductor cluster in the southeast being one of those, is to build on the history of that cluster being based in Newport. Of course, it's not great that things have taken a turn and actually taken a lot longer to hand over the reins to a new owner of the fab. But it's my understanding that, you know, that is moving forward. We have a really strong innovation centre in Tramshed based in the innovation station, right on the train station, actually, in Newport. And we have very active, regular communication with the semiconductor cluster. And of course, you know, the fab is part of that cluster, but there is a much wider supply chain that, regardless of the political things that might be happening, are busy continuing to manufacture, to innovate, and to also upskill local communities. I've seen some fantastic work working with the likes of Colleg Gwent, the local FE provider in Newport, to really start to raise the profile of what are semiconductors? How can you get involved in this? Could this be a job for you for the future? So I think, despite some of the challenges, the semiconductor cluster is a huge opportunity for Wales and the UK.
And you mentioned earlier that UKTN has been a good champion of regional kind of tech. And actually, when this podcast goes out, there will also be a report into the state of businesses, specifically in Wales, that UKTN has compiled. And it identifies semiconductors as one of the region's biggest strengths, along with cyber. Would you agree that that's the case? And what would you like to see done to sort of maintain those strengths?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think if you were to line up all of the 12 tech regions of the UK, defence and cyber is probably baked into a lot of what those regions would claim as an area of expertise. I think we obviously have a strength in the semiconductor cluster in that we have the fab and we have businesses like KLA, IQE based within the region, and that gives it a strength. Interestingly, with cyber, it's a slightly different approach for Wales. And we know that we're not in the Golden Triangle. We are building our cyber capability. But what we tend to see in Wales is a lot of really exciting startups in this area, but also scaling companies. So I know in the report that we talk about a business called Pure Cyber. I remember them joining Tramshed with a very small team, and they are now a very large team working with all the major enterprises across the UK. And I think when I met their CEO recently, he was telling me they're now working in over 80 countries globally, which is a huge achievement for Wales. We've also had a lot of success in bringing that cluster together. So we've always had a very active cyber community. So they meet as a cluster. And I was once told that all of the clusters of the UK aren't as large put together as the Welsh cluster. So that's quite an interesting statistic. But we also have the Cyber Innovation Hub, and that is based in Cardiff University. It's supported by Welsh Government and also the Cardiff Capital Region growth funding. And that is an initiative which has sustainable funding attached to it and will enable the sector to really grow here in Wales, with underpinned by the skills and training that we need. So that's a partnership between Cardiff University, University of South Wales, Alacrity and Tramshed Tech. And we're really proud to start to see the green shoots of that project taking hold. But we've mentioned semiconductors, we've mentioned cyber. We also have a very mature creative industry. So one of the things we've been working on here in Tramshed is how we take some of those very mature, traditional, more traditional sectors, and we buddy those businesses up, if you like, with deep tech, with innovation, and help those businesses to create new revenue streams for the future. That is super exciting. So we're not just saying we're good at cyber, we're good at semiconductors. We can actually say we've got some unique sector leading work happening here in Wales, which is about taking what we're already really good at and bringing tech to the table.
And have you got any examples? That sounds interesting, of creatives working with deep tech companies. What does that actually look like in practice?
We were funded by the EPP program through Barclays Bank recently to run and launch a program called Convergent Content. And that's a program where we do just that. We bring together tech companies with more traditional creative companies in a bit of a mashup, if you like, of how we can help those businesses to create new revenue streams. And a really good example of a project that has spun out of this particular program is an organization called Whisper TV. They are a live sport production company, one of the largest in Wales, and they have an office based here in Wales, Whisper Cymru. And through working with that program and supporting Whisper, we've been able to put them in touch with some companies specializing in AI in the region. Whisper TV are about to go into pre-production for the Paralympics 2024, which is a commission from Channel 4. And usually this project would happen, obviously this year the Paralympics is in Paris, but all of the post-production and the activity around that production would happen from London. Whisper have been very innovative and creative and said, this year we're going to bring it to Wales for the first time ever. But in order to do that, we have to really innovate and we have to do things a bit differently. Firstly, to make it be able to work outside of London, but secondly, to enable accessibility for the workforce that will work on the Paralympics. So working with an AI company here in Wales, they've started to look at how they can utilise AI for immediate translation, instant translation for the Paralympics. Could they use avatars for sign language? So yeah, there's some really exciting work going on to bring quite innovative and new technologies to what would normally be quite a traditional commission for a creative company. So really excited about that.
Yeah, that does sound really exciting. Actually, a lot of people in the survey that UKTN did, a majority said that they saw being in Wales as a bonus to their business. But it wasn't the hugest majority, it was about 60%. So probably some work to do. Why is it, do you think, that, you know, those 40% weren't quite convinced that Wales was helping them?
I think that we are really bad at telling the good stories. So, you know, I will go to events or I'll be at meetings and I might mention the investment zone or the Freeport, or I might mention the work that, you know, Pure Cyber are doing in terms of leading cybersecurity in Wales, or Whisper with Creative Industries. And people who are very, very local will be surprised to hear that level of innovation is happening here in Wales. And that is something we've always been bad at and we continue to be bad at. So what we tend to do is create amazing opportunities for business in Wales, capitalize on those opportunities, and then don't tell anyone about what we've achieved. We move on. We're on to the next thing. And I think that is a huge problem when we are trying to push forward the ecosystem as a go-to place for not just the UK, but inward investment as well. So we know that we're very far behind in terms of attracting international investors to come and look at Wales. And that self-perpetuates, because if we're not telling really positive stories and we're not getting the good news stories out there, then obviously we're less likely to be attracting investment into the region. And so the problem continues. That's one of the things that I'm really glad in terms of the UKTN report being launched, because I hope that it will go some way to us starting to tell some of those really great stories that are happening here in the region. And change that narrative a little bit about, you know, you'll be held back if you're not in London. We know that's not true.
And hopefully the podcast can help with that too. Interesting you mentioned investing, because that was another of the kind of highlights from the report, was that, you know, there were concerns raised over the fact that there's just a few Welsh investors. But there is some new money, such as the Flexible Innovation Support Programme. So I don't know if you want to talk me through that and perhaps say a little bit more about what you can do to sort of increase and widen the investment pool.
It's been a really interesting time, actually, for investment in Wales, because we've seen a number of initiatives across a number of layers of funding. So, you know, we really have seen a doubling down from the Development Bank here in Wales on attracting angel investors into syndicates and into AIW, Angels Invest Wales. And they also have been focusing on some of the wider, harder to reach groups as well. So they recently launched Women Angels Wales, which is a network of female entrepreneurs and investors looking to invest back in female founders. So we are starting to see some green shoots there, definitely in terms of, you know, those angels investors having the confidence to look at the tech ecosystem. And then we've also seen a number of new funds come to Wales. So I mentioned Cardiff Capital Region earlier. They have a fund, a £60 million fund with PwC, which is starting to make investments here in the region. And we have recently seen the launch of the British Business Bank Fund here in Wales, which is a pan-Wales fund. And really exciting that they only awarded the fund to Foresight back in November of 2023. They clearly had Christmas, but coming out of the gates early in 2024, they made their first investment, which I thought was hugely encouraging and shows that capital is starting to be deployed here in Wales, and that can only be a good thing. Some of the things we definitely need to improve on, though, to your question, is that earlier stage funding. So it is still extremely difficult for a tech startup innovating who is risky, pre-revenue, needs a runway, to be able to attract that early stage funding. And even if they do find a route to the smaller amounts of money, and I'm talking about anything probably under a £1 million, your 250s, your 500s, even less, you know, your 50 to 100K, even if they do find a route to some of that funding, it tends to be a disproportionate amount of due diligence and a disproportionate amount of time to draw down that funding to the actual funding itself. So sadly, we're still seeing businesses running out of runway before they're big enough or have enough revenue to apply for those bigger institutional funds. That's something that we're working on. And I know that this is something that I mentioned, the Dev Bank, British Business Bank, they're definitely there to support on. So I hope that we'll start to see some improvement in that area in the months and years to come.
We're running out of time. So just one quick final question. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot going on there. Is there anything coming through the pipeline, anything that you're working on in the future that we haven't talked about yet?
I wouldn't know really where to start, Jane. But I think, you know, one thing to mention is one of the things we're lucky to be able to do is we're proud to be a Welsh company. We're proud to have our HQ in Wales, and we are extremely privileged to work with Welsh entrepreneurs and businesses every day. But I think through our relationships with you guys at UK Tech News, also with the Tech Cluster Group I mentioned, Tech Advocates, Barclays and their wider partners like Codebase in Scotland, Omar Baths in Northern Ireland, Dogpatch Labs in Ireland, we're able to learn from the rest of the UK and also start to, you know, build our footprint outside of the UK. So lots of different international partnerships that we're starting to build through those wider networks. Why that is exciting is we know that we can't achieve what we want to achieve on our own. So we want, as I said at the very top of this meeting, to have a thriving and really vibrant tech ecosystem in Wales. And we know that's achievable, but we can't do that just being based here in Wales. We need to look to the rest of the UK, to the rest of the world, in order to take our sector leading practice and share it more broadly, but also bring the best of innovation back into Wales. And I think for me, that's very, very exciting. And the most exciting thing is, it's totally achievable.
And it's a really good point, actually, because we talk about the need to build these ecosystems in different regions. But if those ecosystems then become very insular, then that's sort of not solving the problem at all. In fact, it's probably making the problem worse. So brilliant. That was amazing. Really good to talk to you. Lots of really interesting points there. But I'm afraid that's all we have time for on this week's edition of the UKTN podcast. Thanks to Louise Harris for joining me, and of course to anyone that's listening. We will be back with another episode next week, but in the meantime, you can keep up to date with all the latest UK tech developments at www.uktech.news. Don't forget to follow UKTN on LinkedIn and X, where you can also get in touch with me at Jane Wakefield with your comments and suggestions about the show. Until next time, goodbye from me. This podcast is brought to you by HSBC Innovation Banking, the power behind the UK's forward thinkers, future makers and leap takers. They're helping to ignite the bold ideas that reshape our world. Go to www.hsbcinnovationbanking.com/en-gb to find out how innovation needs different.